Give you a heads up. Find Acts chapter 7 and then put your finger in Genesis. It'll help. A lot of scriptures today. Terry talking about the ice. He's like, can you see us? I'm like, what the heck was that? Told Wendy, it's like an arrow or something. We got down the other end of the lake, and we were standing there. I was looking out over the whole lake, and you hear these sounds coming. It's just like, it's like, whoa, that's crazy. Love those moments. Acts chapter 7, conquers and challenges Christ in 2022. Amazing stuff. Talking about Joseph now. Acts 7, verse 9. And the patriarchs, that would be, for those of you who may not know who the patriarchs are, that would be the sons of Israel, what we would call the founding fathers, so to speak, the 12 tribes of Israel, sons of Jacob. The patriarchs, the original founding fathers of these states in what we call Israel. The patriarchs, the fathers, jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt, but God was with him. And he rescued him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who made him ruler over Egypt and over all his household. There came a famine throughout all Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers could find no food. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent out our fathers on their first visit. And on the second visit, Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and Joseph's family became known to Pharaoh. And Joseph sent and summoned Jacob, his father, and all his kindred, 75 persons in all. And Jacob went down into Egypt, and he died, and our fathers, and they were carried back to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham had bought for a sum of silver from the sons of Hamor in Shechem. Lord, this is your word. This is inspired. Our hearts are still knowing that Stephen quoted this scripture from Genesis as he stood with his life in the balance, speaking truth to the power rather than defending himself. He chose your word and he died. So, Lord, help us to see and understand the great message that he had in this. Encourage us, lift us up, give us strength, give us power. Lord, teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. There are challenges. Challenges and conquerors in 2022. The patriarchs, these brothers of Joseph. Now, clear back in Genesis 37, these founding fathers of the nation Israel, who are held in such high esteem throughout scriptures, particularly by these Pharisees, by the Jews who loved to talk about the fathers and the patriarchs. It says in Genesis 37 that verse 3, now Israel, that's Jacob, his father, the father of the patriarchs. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. And that's pretty much where this story stops for much of society. We make plays and write books, the robe of many colors, da da da. There's so much more. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him, could not speak peacefully to him. Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers and they hated him even more. When he told them the dream, his brother said to him in verse 8, "Are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream, and this is just compounding the problem. Even in verse 10, it says, when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. The patriarchs, the brothers, the founding fathers of Israel, Manasseh, Ephraim, they weren't there at this time. Simeon, Dan, all of these founding fathers, these states of Old Testament Israel, the original brothers hated their younger brother Joseph. They hated him. It repeats it. Hated him more, hated him again. They were jealous. First word, they were jealous of their little brother. They hated him and hated him and hated him some more. We see in verse 18 that the thought, it says they conspired to kill him. Chapter 37, verse 18. They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. Now, Reuben kind of went to his defense, had a plan. I don't think that's right. But nevertheless went with it. And then we see that they decided, well, instead of actually just murdering him outright, let's throw him into a pit and let him die. And thank goodness says there was no water in the pit. Then Judah, I guess of all people, Judah, decided they should at least make some money off of him. So they sold him to Ishmaelite gypsies. Nice brothers. Maybe even more so, they crushed their father's heart. Crushed their father's heart, Jacob. This was the child of his old age. This was the son of Rachel, the wife that he absolutely adored. These are the founding fathers, so to speak, of the nation Israel. These are the fathers you read about. Our fathers, when you read about the Jews and the Pharisees, well, our fathers, this is who they're talking about. And they weren't nice people. They weren't nice people. Think about that. Put yourself in that place. They hated him. They were jealous of him. They threw him in a pit. Then they sold him. Let's at least make some money off of him. These are not nice people. But they were the founding fathers of Israel. No wonder Israel found themselves in so much trouble. Quite honestly, they were sinners like you and I. I mean, but they were wretched. So in 2022, as in 2020 and 21, there will be challenge for us. But my question, what's in your wallet? Because there aren't any of us getting sold, thrown in a pit, beat up. I mean, this is serious. Family. This isn't just out there. This is family. Have you ever had family just be this despicable towards one another? These are family issues happening here. And some of us have family issues, but we're not there yet. This is awful stuff from the founding fathers of Israel. But there are two amazing graces that I do want to show you in this. Because you would think, if it were me, if it were you, and we were Joseph, and this happened when he was 17, right? Genesis chapter 37, verse, Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings in the land of Canaan. These are generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old. 17 years old. When this happened to him. So if this is me, and I'm 17, and we're going to find out that he becomes Pharaoh's right-hand man and saves the nation, he's 30. So we're going to find out that all this happened to him between 17 and 30. Hated, thrown in a pit, taken to Egypt, sold to Potiphar as a main servant. Potiphar's wife was not a woman of fidelity. She wanted this handsome young man. So he runs. He spends at least a couple years in prison, interprets some dreams. They get out. The dreams come true, and they forget to tell him about this guy in prison that interpreted the dreams. Hey, when you get out, when you remember to tell him about me. They forget. But he finally remembers. One of them finally remembers, and he does get out. But from 17 to 30, his life was pretty much a train wreck. One thing after another. And if this is me and you, I mean, we're deep into counseling after 30 years old. I mean, we have every psychological thing happening that you can list, every letter in the alphabet, post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, we've got everything and are on six kinds of medication just to survive. But it was different with him. And God was good to him. In Genesis chapter 41, I love this. Genesis chapter 41, verse 46. It tells us, Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So I'm not lying to you. 17 to 30, 13 years really of ups and downs, of hell and back. And he gets to verse 50. And this famine, this 7 years of famine is coming. There's 7 years of good and 7 years of famine. It says, before the year of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph. Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, now that would not be a Christian, bore them to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, listen to what he said, God has made me forget all my hardship and all my father's house. The name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. So there he is, 13 years. What's going to happen next? And his wife is the daughter of the priest of On. She's a pagan, but she's his wife, and she bears him two sons who become two of the founding fathers of Israel. Because Joseph drops out, Jacob claims those two as his own, and the Levites are kind of freelance, I guess you'd say. And so these two sons of Egypt and Joseph, the priest of On, is their grandfather. These two become part of the founding fathers of Israel. That's pretty amazing to me. But he says, God has made me forget the affliction that I've endured. God has made me forget it. And more than that, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. God did this. Forgetting and fruitfulness. Now, he'll never forget it entirely, but when it comes down to it, it's gone, it's past, it's over. Look at these boys, and I am fruitful. I am fruitful. That's grace number one. That's blessing number one, that God is able. God is able to take us completely forward not dragging these pains and these hardships and these afflictions, even over many years, God is able to take us forward, leaving all that behind, and even to make us fruitful if we'll let Him. The second major blessing that I see is in chapter 48. I'm going to read a bunch of it, but man, just take this home and read it a few more times. Man, if you want a touching story, I mean, just an amazingly special moment, go home today and just pour yourself into Genesis 48. Just think about what's happening here. This is the goodbye and the blessing of Jacob to his son Joseph. Genesis 48, verse 1. After this, Joseph was told, "Behold, your father is ill." So he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And it was told to Jacob, "Your son Joseph has come to you." Then Israel, that's Jacob, they switch his name. Then Israel summoned his strength and sat up in bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, 'Behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a company of peoples, and I will give this land to your offspring after you for an everlasting possession.' And now, your two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt, before I came to you in Egypt, these two sons are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine, as Reuben and Simeon are. And the children that you father after them shall be yours. You get to keep them. But these two fall under my lineage," is what he's saying. "These two will be part of the land. They shall be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. And as for me, when I came from Paddan, to my sorrow, Rachel died in the land of Canaan on the way when there was still some distance to go to Ephrath. And I buried her there on the way to Ephrath," that is, Bethlehem. "When Israel saw Joseph's sons, he said, 'Who are these?' And Joseph said to his father, 'These are my sons, whom God has given me here.' And he said, 'Bring them to me, please, that I may bless them.' Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see. So Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them." Now just picture this old man who can't see. He's bringing these little boys and he's kissing them, just like these very old people sometimes do. And he's on his deathbed and he's embracing these kids. "Israel said to Joseph, 'I never expected to see your face. And behold, God has let me see your offspring also.' Then Joseph removed them from his knees and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and he brought them near, and Israel stretched out his hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and on his left hand on the head of Manasseh, crossing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph, and he said, 'The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys. And in them let my name be carried on in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth.' When Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, It displeased him, and he took his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, "Not this way, my father, since this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his offspring shall become a multitude of nations." So he blessed them that day, saying, "By you Israel will pronounce blessings, saying, God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh." What a special scene, that Joseph being there in Egypt for so many years, going through so much, and his entire family come for food. There's a famine, and he gets to see his father, and now his father's dying, and he gets to see his dad before he dies. And not only that, he gets to see these two children, these grandchildren that become his, and he blesses them, and they become part of Israel. What a just a special blessing for Joseph to get to see his father pass. In all this turmoil, all this affliction, I mean, they just keep saying, "God has been with me. God has been with me. God, the angel, the Lord has blessed me. The Lord has done this. He is our strength, and He is our hope in 2022. So there will be challenges. I can guarantee that. Don't know what they are or how they will be. But I do know there will be challenges in 2022. There are always going to be plenty of evil-hearted people who don't mind selling a brother or murdering him. There are always going to be pharaohs and power grabbers like these Jews. Matthew 27:18, it says that this Roman soldier knew that these Pharisees were trapping Jesus because they envied him. Jealousy is a powerful weapon. Hatred, it's powerful. It's even more powerful if you think about it, because they were so jealous and so hateful because his father loved him more than them. Because God gave him visions of the future that would eventually save their life from a famine, they hated him. They totally had no idea. Much like so many people today, there's no idea how God could use any of this for good. But He can. He can totally redeem 2020, 2021, and 2022 for as magnificent of purposes as He did here. 13 years for those moments. God is powerful to redeem us of our challenges if we go to Him and Him alone. He doesn't want any divided allegiance. He doesn't want any divided heart, any divided plan. He wants us to go to Him and to Him alone. So there's our story. Question we may ask is, why is Stephen going to this old Testament story to really indict these men who are about to kill him? Rather than defending himself, he draws back to this story. Well, Acts chapter 7, verse 51 is the connection. "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. as your fathers did, so do you. The fathers, these fathers that he is telling them about, reminding them of, remember your fathers, the patriarchs, the jealousy and the hatred toward Joseph. They resisted the Holy Spirit just like you, who have now killed from envy the Savior of the world. Because you have this, not just a mental block, but a spiritual block that you can't see and you don't want to see. You don't want to see anything that's happening. All you want is control and your power and you to be sitting in the office seat. And you don't want anyone challenging your authority. And you killed him because you are blind. You are blind, just like the fathers. The fathers were magnificent sinners. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to read a passage. I don't know if you know it. Today is a very special day across Canada. 3,000 pastors in the United States have, at least 3,000, are siding with the pastors in Canada. Are any of you familiar with what I'm talking about? Okay. So Canada has hurriedly passed a law that makes it illegal to preach, teach, counsel, hand somebody a book or a video with a negative tilt on homosexuality, gender dysphoria. It's illegal now in Canada. If a friend comes to you with confusion, with problems, and you steer him away, it's illegal. If they go to a counselor and the counselor tries to steer them away from homosexuality, it's illegal. If you hand somebody a book, it's illegal. Give them a video, an audio cassette, it's illegal. So the pastors in Canada have banded together and declared today is the day they will preach on their sexual immorality and their position against it. And so, not hardly all, many pastors in Canada will never touch this. They will obey their government. But many, many will obey their Lord. And 3,000 plus pastors in the United States are doing the same thing. I'm not going to preach a whole message on it. You know where we stand. It's black and white. It's simple. I will read this passage for two positions, two things, to declare again the very simple position we take on it, and number two, to show you just how evil these founding fathers, these brothers of Joseph were. As I read this passage, just listen to all of the items it mentions that these founding fathers of Israel were guilty of. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Now we know that the law, the Old Testament law, is good if one uses it lawfully. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient. That's them. That's the fathers. For the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers. They crush their father's heart. He grieved and said he would grieve even when his soul went into Sheol. For murderers, them, the sexually immoral, Judah was. He slept with his daughter-in-law. Men who practice homosexuality, it is that black and white. Enslavers, people who sell people into slavery like they did. Liars like they were. Perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. These brothers were wicked men. They were evil sinners, hearts broken against and away from God, like all of mankind. There was nothing special about any of them outside of God. And that's where Stephen was going. He said, "You are filthy sinners like your fathers were. You resist the Holy Spirit like your fathers did. You side with Rome when you want to, when it benefits you, and you murder the Savior when you want to." Key phrase, you resist. You always resist the Holy Spirit. And that's the part I want us to think about as we move forward into 2022. And it's going to be a big job. It's going to be huge for us to do what I'm going to ask us to even attempt to do. And that is not resist the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was present in Genesis chapter 41. As these dreams were being interpreted, as Joseph was kind of coming into his position under Pharaoh, in Genesis chapter 41, verse 37 and 38 and 39, it says in verse 38, "And Pharaoh said to his servants, 'Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?' Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you.'" Whereas the fathers just continually, they were so blind of heart and mind, they couldn't see anything. Joseph, because of the Spirit that was in him, could see and discern and have wisdom. Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? And they are still rare today. In Acts chapter 7, verse 9, there's a key phrase in this verse. Acts chapter 7, verse 9. "And the patriarchs," the fathers, "jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt, but God was with him." God was with him. The Spirit of God was in him, and Pharaoh could clearly see God is with you. Who can we find like this man? The Spirit of God with him, in him. God is with him. And I want us to know, every bit is so, God is with us. God is with us now. There is no difference. Jesus talked about it. The Scriptures are full of it. When you accept Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, as your Lord, as your Savior, as your guide, the Holy Spirit comes into you. And God is with you just like He was Joseph. God is with us in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. It's not what He's going to do, how He's going to deliver us. It's not how's He going to do it, what's He going to do, it's not when. We think, okay, the story was, right? Joseph had two boys. Okay, it's the children. It's not how. God is with us. That's what we have to camp on. It's not when, it's not how, it's not what's He going to do, when's He going to do it. The patriarchs had no idea God was delivering them through their little brother. And they were ready to murder him, throw him in. They had no idea. It's not how God is going to deliver us. It's not when God is going to deliver us. From this, or from our family problems, from whatever we face, it is that God is with us. He is with you. Oh, I want you to know that. He is with you. Walk with Him, and He will. Not that you won't go through 13 years of affliction. It says He delivered him out of all his afflictions. He was in prison for 2 years, but He delivered him out of prison. His parents and his family were long gone back in Israel. He had no idea if he'd ever see them again. But God gave him a family and fruit. And He did turn that family back around. 75 of them came back. We can't guarantee He will turn our families back around. But God is with us, and He will give us grace and fruitfulness. He is with us. Don't camp on how. Camp on who. He will still walk us through 2022. If you have Him as your Lord, God is with you. Now, that's pretty Christianese. God's with you. God be with you. That can ring hollow, but not for us. Not for us. So first, I just need you to come to grips with this. He is with you. Please stop. Please believe me when I say, if you are a child of the King, if you have made that point in time decision, I will follow Him and Him alone. He is with you and in you. God is with you. That's amazing. But you first have to know that. You first have to believe it. It's promised in the Scriptures. He loves you. You're His child. You cry out, Abba, Father. He loves you. You might not feel it or see it. You may be asking how and what and when. Just let Him know He's with me. Completely He loves you. He's in you. Whether you feel it today or not, He's there. He's in you. Romans chapter 8. Some of you will be familiar with that. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, that's a good phrase. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall trouble, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Anything they throw at us, will it separate us from Him? Will He not be with us anymore? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I'm sure neither death nor life nor angels, rulers, things present, things to come, powers, height or depth, anything else in all of creation will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. His love is here to stay. If you have His Spirit in you, God is with you. His love is with you. And there is no trouble coming our way. He will leave you. He will not love you. He will not jabber His little lips off in your heart, trying to get your attention and saying, I love you, here, go this way, here, do this. He is with us. He'll never leave us. You just don't need to ask how or why or what or where or when are you going. Judas, not Iscariot, asked this question. John chapter 14. Judas, not Iscariot, said to Him, Lord, how is it that You will manifest Yourself to us and not to the world? Judas asked this question. Well, how's he going to do it? If the Holy Spirit is in me and He's with me and He loves me and I have all these things I face in my life, I have a history, I have 13 years behind me, there are challenges in society, challenges in my home. How is it that He's going to manifest Himself to us? This is a legitimate question, and the answer is the Holy Spirit is in us, and He will never leave us. There's no trouble you're going to find yourself in where He's going to leave you or forsake you. No, we are more than conquerors when we don't resist the Holy Spirit and totally botch up the mess. When we are led by the Spirit like Joseph and we do amazing things and our heart cries out, Abba, Father. In Acts chapter 6, verse 5, it says, Stephen was full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And that's a good starting point for me and you. Full of faith and the Holy Spirit. God is with me. Will you repeat that with me? Everybody together. God is with me. God loves you. He gave His only Son to die for you. And you've accepted Him and He's coming in. All these problems. Sit and watch Fox News or CNN for 2 hours or 3 hours and tell me if you don't fill your basket up with fear and anxiety. And God is with you and He's bigger than it all and there is no trouble, nothing, nothing that will separate you from His presence and His love in the Holy Spirit. Nothing. That's a great promise. Stephen, full of faith in the Holy Spirit, looked these men in the eye and he said, you resist the Holy Spirit just like your fathers did? Which one of the prophets didn't they kill? The Christian response, Christ 2022, the Christian response comes from the Spirit. And right now we're just going to start to turn the gear here. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. Some of you can quote this. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. There are many people losing their minds today, but you have the Spirit of God. And He's never leaving you. He's never going to stop loving you. There's no trouble on this earth that will separate you from that. His Spirit is with you, teaching and talking and guiding and revealing and convicting, the Scriptures say. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Be filled. Let Him speak and guide you. It's not even close. It's not even close. There is no mountain God can't move, we sang about. You need not fear. He is with you. Will there be affliction? Will there be trouble? Will there be challenges? Probably. Yep. You need not fear. Remember Joseph. Remember Joseph. And He will give you monumental blessings along the way to say, you're here. You're here, aren't you? You love me. You're with me. I hear you. I hear you. So there are a couple of things right here that I can't just hand you this Scripture and say, the Holy Spirit is in you and loves you and is speaking to you and you don't need to fear. I can't just stop there, because there's a little bit of work to be done for us, not only today but in the days ahead. And the reason is, there are two things. First of all, I'm talking about fear. I'm not talking about being scared. Right? So we all get scared at times. You know, you walk up, and I'm talking to somebody, and you boo, and I'm going to, ah! We all get scared at times. I do. There are things that scare me. No, I'm talking about fear. I call it a boiling scared or simmering in fear. Boiling scared or simmering in fear. You make the pot of water on the stove boil. It's very hot. It's ready to go. Boom, you turn it down. But then you turn it on low and that water stays really hot for a really long time, and it simmers. See, I'm not saying don't ever be scared. We get scared sometimes, and it goes away. We grab ourselves, and it goes away. Now, I'm talking about simmering in fear, getting up day after day after day after day, and being afraid, being fearful, being anxious. What's going to happen next? What am I going to do? How am I going to do this? And where's this going to go? I'm talking about simmering in fear. I'll be the first to admit I get scared sometimes. And the Spirit's the one that I go to. The Spirit's the one that talks to me and says, hey, fool, what are you doing? No, I'm talking about there's none of us here, because of the Spirit of God in us, there's none of us here that just have to simmer in fear. Just leave the fire on and just be afraid all the time. You nobody look at you and go, wow, you're really scared. I mean, there's a few, but typically they don't see that. Nobody knows that's going on in us, that fear, that just ongoing simmering in fear. We don't have to do that. So I'm not talking about being scared. We all get scared. That's a good mechanism that God has built into us. Now, I'm talking about fear. We haven't been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. sound mind. It's the Spirit that we've been given. So let's just start there. And the harder part, but I have an answer for you from the Scripture. The harder part, because so many churches in our land, and really abroad, but for me and you, it's just in America we know of, so many ministries and churches in America have built this ministry thing on these extreme Holy Spirit phenomena. Healings and miracles and speaking in tongues and send your money. And I challenge 99.9% of that. But we have built this whole big thing, and in 2020 they all but disappeared with all that magnificent miraculous power. They all but dried up. They're back. They're coming back because they want the money. I have no qualms about saying that. We know they have built all this falseness. They have talked the spirit of COVID down, in the name of God and the Holy Spirit, be gone in 2022, and it's still here. All of this garbage that we have been so accustomed to in the prosperity of the gospel for so many years, if you're like me, I almost hesitate to preach and teach about the Holy Spirit because that's just where I go. Yeah. And that's the challenge for me and you. The Holy Spirit is absolutely real. It is absolutely real. Read the New Testament and see what the Holy Spirit does, and I promise you, you're going to read a whole lot more than that. That's garbage. The Holy Spirit is real. And those same people that profess all that have been living in fear for the last 2 years and have closed their doors and are just now coming back. I can give you names if you'd like. But the Spirit is real. Jesus said, He will recall things to your mind. He will teach you. He will convict you. Jesus taught all about the Holy Spirit. Oh, he prayed about it. John chapter 14, John chapter 17. He'll be with you. He'll be in you. How are you going to do that? He taught all about the Holy Spirit. He didn't say a word about tongues and all this stuff. I never saw Jesus speaking in tongues. Did he heal people? Sure he did. He walked on water. So when you get done healing that guy, I'm going to bring you down the lake. I'm going to let you walk across to the other side because you can do it. See, they don't know what to do with that. And we built this whole false giant in our country of this stuff. We've got to come back to the Holy Spirit in the truth of God's Word and say, He is my power. He is my love. He is my sound mind. Through all this and more. Joseph had him. Joseph didn't speak in tongues or heal anybody. We have got to cast out the junk that we've witnessed and come back and deal with the Holy Spirit today, as the Scriptures say, and recognize Him in us and our power, our love, and our sound mind. Because if we don't face the truth of the Spirit, we don't know what to do. We're missing something that God wants us to know and have. Maybe it's been the enemy just setting this whole thing up. I don't know. But I want you to know the Holy Spirit is absolutely real. Absolutely. If all that's real, what we see on TV, why didn't they go to the hospitals and heal those people rather than closing their churches? Certainly, that COVID ain't going to stop Jesus. He touched all kinds of sick, pathetic, demon-possessed, leprous. Is he afraid of that? Is this Holy Spirit afraid of that? No, don't go there. Don't get sick. You see, we've been sold this bill of goods. And now we've come to a place in our country where we need power and love and a sound mind more than ever. And we've got to come back and go, guess where it's at? Knock, knock, knock. It's in the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to ask you to refresh, hit the refresh button, and let's start over with the Holy Spirit. Go to the Gospels. Go to Jesus. Go to the Scriptures. And start reading what the Holy Spirit is truly going to do. How is God going to be with you and help you in this turmoil to have peace? And that's what Jesus said, when me and my Father will come and manifest ourselves to you, and you will have peace. Because you'll have power. And love, and we want to love. We don't want this hatred and division. We want to love. I want sound mind. I want peace, Jesus said. You will have peace. So let's turn back. John chapter 14. And let's see what Jesus said. John chapter 14, verse 22. If you won't believe me, I hope you'll believe Jesus. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? It's no wonder they're blind. It's no wonder they can't see anything. And Jesus answered them, here's an answer. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And bring to your remembrance all that I have said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not like the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. How will you manifest yourself to us, Lord? How's this Spirit? Oh, you're going to speak in tongues. And that's going to just make everything cool. No? No? You're going to just heal a bunch of people and then nobody's going to be afraid anymore. Nope. Nope. I'm going to send the Spirit and He's going to cause you to remember the things I've said. He's going to teach you. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. We've made a huge mistake by not digging into the Word of God and letting the Spirit speak. My assignment for us, to hit the refresh button on the Holy Spirit, which we so desperately need, is to get yourself alone. Sit your cell phone in the other room. Go into a room with the Word of God in your lap and ask the Lord to speak to you through His Spirit. Lord, would you speak to my heart and don't resist him. Don't resist him when he speaks to you. That's where you will find the communication. Listen, let him teach you, let him help you remember it. Meet with him. Tell him, I need you. I need this power, love, and a sound mind. And I promise I won't resist you. And start reading the Word, whether you understand it, whether it makes sense to you. Go to John. Go to chapter 14. Go anywhere. Lord, help me. I want the true Holy Spirit that you say I have. I want to know you love me and you're with me. You'll never leave me. Nothing that'll happen will ever make you leave me or stop loving you. But Lord, I want to know you're with me. I want to be filled with faith and the Holy Spirit like Stephen was. You'll find it when you spend some time alone with His Word and the Holy Spirit, and then you start walking it out. You start living it out. Lord, help me. Help me to see you, to hear you. I don't want to resist. Do you know how many people have come into church since I've been here and have said, man, when you read that scripture, when you taught that thing, I just felt this inside. It was like made me feel so uncomfortable, so bad. I don't know if I can go to church here. I'm going to try. I'm going to dig my feet in and I'm going to try. And some have and some haven't. Don't resist the Holy Spirit, please. Please don't resist the Holy Spirit. He doesn't just step on our toes once in a while. He is our power and our love and our sound mind if we don't resist Him. I know you've felt Him. I know you've felt His presence in you. If you are His, I know you can recall a time when you were just like, man, the Spirit just, I don't know how I said it. I was just there. I had this amazing worship time. It was just me and Him. And I know you, I don't know how it was, but I know if you have Him, you felt Him. Refresh. God, I need that. I don't always feel amazing, but I need to know you're with me. Oh, I want the power and the love and the sound mind to live Christ in 2022. Refresh the Holy Spirit. He's real. He's in us. He's there. He'll never leave. Never stop loving you. Ever. And we don't have to live in the past. We can move forward like Joseph. We can be more than conquerors. More than conquerors. As for Stephen's audience, you always resist the Holy Spirit. He was on your own. You just killed the Savior. Not us. 2022, you're more than conquerors. Refresh the Holy Spirit. He's real. And He's yours. He's there for us. He's absolutely there for us. Lord, thank you. Way over my pay grade. Holy Spirit, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Will you help us find Him? Help us to have the faith. To have faith in our heart and our mind. Have the eyes of faith. Speak to us, Lord. I believe you're real. I believe you can speak into our hearts. Any one of your children here, you can speak into our hearts today with more power than an audible voice. You can speak to us. You're real. Lord, I pray for our congregation right here, this family. There are so many afflictions and anxieties and fears and challenges. I pray, help us, Lord. Help us to know that spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. You've given it to us, Lord. Help us grab it. In Jesus' name, amen.